So, okay, thank you. Good morning. My name is Don. I'm an alcoholic. And I want to thank Bill for asking me to come up here today. I don't think I'm going to take 25 minutes. Give you a little bit of background. I got sober in the Naval rehab system back in 1973. And I did a lot of traveling in my first years of sobriety. It took me about a year to get to the point where I had to do my first fourth step, and then another fourth step about 5 years later. One of the experiences that I found that after getting involved with the rehab systems, everybody has their own little piece of paper. This is how we do their step, fourth step. We do our fourth step this way. I got to work with younger men in a program, and we did it off of their paperwork. The main thing that I find it as being a sponsor or a friend to somebody that's starting into this process is to be a friend, to motivate him in a way that not to scare him. You know, the thing that I share today is I can't get this fourth step done because of I'm scared you're going to know something about me that I don't want you to know. And the first thing that I learned after doing my fourth step and took it to the fifth step to a guy in Italy, I wasn't really that unique. In fact, his process was I gave him my fourth step that I had written, and that's something we'll talk about here a little bit later. And he, instead of sitting down and doing the fifth step with him, he reached in his desk drawer and he picked out his fourth step and said, come back and see me in 24 hours. And it looked like the guy had copied my paper. It did. It really did. All right. So first thing we have to present to these people is you're not going to be unique. You know, I like this old judge down in South Carolina used to say, if I could find something on the, you know, we never talk about what we in the fifth step, what we hear from another individual, and he says, I don't, because I've never heard anything unique to talk about. You know, that's the bottom line. You know, we're not unique. We live in a lot of fear, and the fear of that fourth step has manifests itself in several ways. I had a guy that was not going to do his fourth step because he couldn't get the spreadsheet to work on his computer. You know, that's a hell of a way to die. You know, it's a hell of a way to die. The thing that I would suggest when working with newcomers is always be open, always be honest. You know, don't be a model of promotion, not attraction, not promotion. You know, they come up with situations, and you just tell them, well, this is what happened to me, and this is what I had to do. All right, you know, I had to sit down with somebody and discuss this. And after a while, I got tired of doing it piecemeal, and I sat down and wrote out the paper, and we went through, and I thought I'd done a perfect fourth step, but I didn't. You know, we never do. But once we get to that, initial fourth step out of the way, we can close the chapter on that and go to the fifth step. And then as you read in the book of Alcoholics Anonymous, it says, we've settled down and we have digested some big chunks of truth about ourselves. All right, and I went. That's the way it works for me and some and other people I work with. We will never. I'm going to tell them that you'll never complete you'll never write a perfect fourth step. You'll never get it all encompassing and take care of it one time. That's why the founders of these programs come up with the tenth step. We come back and we say, oh my God, I was listening to the meeting the other day and this guy was talking about this, and I did the same thing, but I didn't write that in my fourth step. And we tell them not to panic. You know, we tell them, you know, okay, we'll sit down and talk about it if you think it's necessary. One of the phrases I use today when I'm dealing with people that I've worked with, fourth step with, is that they want to pick, and I call it picking at scabs. You know, they get some wounds healed up, and they'll say, "Okay, but what about back when?" I said, "Well, did we resolve this?" And they'll say, "Well, I thought we resolved it, but it just keeps coming back in my mind." All right, And that's why we go back and sit down and we talk about it again. That's what the fifth step, process of the fifth step. And the sixth step, and the seventh, and the eighth, and the ninth. The only way I've ever been able to stay sober is to be in the here and now. A lot of us try, I look at the fourth step, and like Bill said, AA speaks for itself, Don speaks for Don. I look at my fourth step as a one-step process to deal with the past, to deal with the major defects of the past. And I look at the fifth step as part of that process of being honest. The most embarrassing question a sponsor can ask a sponsee after he gets through with the fifth step is that all? You know, is that all? But that question has to be asked. You know. And every once in a while you'll have one of them say, well, not really. You know. And this is something that I think I maybe don't want to talk to you about right now. But you keep that in the back of your mind. And when you see them fluttering around out there, getting nervous and flailing like we usually do, you set them down and you ask them, what's going on? You know, that's what the whole inventory process of this program is about, is what's going on in your life today. If you don't have peace, you know, if you're not happy, then tell me why. And if it's people, places, and things, it needs to be put on a piece of paper and figured out why. I don't do a lot of sponsoring. I was in the Navy, as I told you, all right? And I sponsor people. And one of the things that I advanced up in the ranks, the rank by rank, the old-fashioned way. It's called a Mustang officer, all right? And one of the abbreviations they have for them is LDO. And sometimes I'm considered an LDO, which in there means loud, dumb, and obnoxious. Okay? And I call it like I see it, you know? And that scares people, all right? I broke one of my traditions here and really had to grow up here in the last couple of months. A young lady who just got out of prison asked me to help her do a four-step because she wants to get married. Generally, as a rule, I tell ladies to go do four and fifth steps with ladies. All right, but I've known a woman for several years, and I've seen her struggle in this program. So I had to do a little bit of cleaning up my own act. You know, the best way to learn this program—I mean, the best way to live this program and to learn this program—is try to teach this program. And the other thing that I've gotten involved in here, working with these steps. And the biggest part of that program is called Back to the 40s. And the biggest part of that is when we do the third and the fourth step, and the fifth step, excuse me, and then we do a mock fourth step. I've got the worksheets on the table that I've copied out of that book, all right? Take them and use them, all right? It's real simple to go through, you know, and it asks all the specific questions the sponsor should be asking them, you know. What did this affect, you know? How did this affect you, and why did this affect you, you know? And when it's all said and done, you've essentially completed your fourth step. Back when I first came in the program, we didn't have sponsors sitting down. Well, I didn't have sponsors sitting down with me writing my fourth step. Because it was impractical. It was not practical to do because I was. Sometimes I'd be in port. Sometimes I wouldn't see him for 6 months. All right. Today it's not uncommon for a sponsor to sit down and help the newcomer write out his four step. However, I find it my experience is to let him go so far onto this worksheet and say, okay. Now you need to go do some of this yourself. Me sitting down here making you write everything down that you talk about today isn't going to accomplish your four step. All right, you need to get into that private time where you get into that head and meditate and figure out some of the things of the past that you want to bring forward. I talked 10 minutes. Wow. But anyhow, in working with them, originally in this program come about, these steps were basically done by the individual. The step that come into play was when you needed other people was the fifth step. The third step suggested that you had another member. The fifth step said if you couldn't find the right person at the time, you could wait until you found the right person to take this step with. But the fourth step was basically written out by the individual. I don't ever see anybody ever saying, well, you're a liar, that didn't happen that way, you know. So when somebody writes out a fourth step, I take it. It's scientifically proven, I guess, that if they put it down on paper, there's got to be a lot of truth to it. You know, if they put it down on paper, there's truth to it. How much they don't put on paper is what counts. And you'll find out later on, because after I did my first four step, I felt better. I don't know why, it just worked. It just actually worked. I see that happen when I work with other guys. I have a friend that I work with over in, he's in Bakersfield now, and this guy's been sober about 10 years, and we sat down at par, and we was doing this paperwork, and I'd go over there every Tuesday, and every once in a while, he'd add some stuff into it, you know, and we would discuss it. And a lot of it didn't really seem that dramatic, you know, didn't really seem that earth-shaking. But somewhere in that process, he let go of enough that he was able to maintain sobriety. And that's one of the major goals of this step, you know. I went to another 12-step program, and I did a four-step there, and I lost a lot of weight. And, the guy said, I don't know what you did, because he wasn't losing the weight. He says, somewhere in that process of doing that fourth step and that fifth step, you let go of enough to do something that made a dramatic change in your life. And I believe that. I've seen that here in Alcoholics Anonymous for the last 38 years. People come in, I'm not a sobriety committee. People come in, I look at them, I think, I don't know, but God's going to say, God will sort them out. He always does, you know. And the ones that I would pick is out that's going to be out the door in 30 days, they're still here in 30 years. You know, that's the amazing part of it. And all of them have the one thing in common. They have done the inventory. They have learned the inventory process. They have learned the fifth-step process of letting go to God and another human being, you know, and admitting to themselves and God and another human being. They all of them that have been winners in this program know that process. They continue this process all the way up to the day. I continue this process to the day. I have a sponsor too. All right. The trouble with my sponsor is, this is a joke now, it's not true, but it's a joke. I've been sober 39 years and he's been sober longer than I have. One of us is going to have Alzheimer's before too long. You know, but we continue this process, and that's how we maintain our sobriety. And I want to thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you, Don. We do have some time left over. If there's anyone who has questions they'd like to direct specifically to what Don just presented, now would not be a bad time to do that. And there'll be time for questions later as well. Any questions?
Yeah, Mark, I use the worksheet. Is there a time consideration for doing a fourth step? It seems to me that momentum can be important for working the steps. So when I sit down with a guy and give him the worksheet and we go over the instruction, how much time is reasonable between that day, the time when he's finished and he starts this step?
I see it as an individual process. Let's take it, some of these guys have been able to do it in a couple, 3 weeks. Some of them have taken 6 weeks, you know. But you can tell if they're dragging their feet. And that's when this gut instinct of being a sponsor and working the steps, having the experience of working the steps, you can tell when they're dragging their feet, and you can start looking for the causes of why they're dragging their feet. You know? I know this as Dr. Bob and Bill. Dr. Bob did his steps in, what, 24 hours or 7 days? I forget which one it was. Huh? 7 days, yeah. And did all his steps in 7 days. And I just, where I was going with this is that the thing of it is that some people can get up there and do that. I jokingly say it, and it's true, but it's true. The only thing I've ever done in moderation after I've gotten Alcoholics Anonymous has been the steps. And I think that's a tendency for all of us. But I've had sponsors just come in behind me and say, they're not mean, they're kicking me in the pants. Says, what's going on? Why aren't you getting this done? You know, and see why I'm dragging my feet. Does that answer your question?
Yes. Thank you.
I don't know if you do or not. I think Marcy's got one back there, maybe.
Okay. Yes, I have another question back. Don, come over to the microphone.
Okay.
Well, go ahead and ask your question.
Yes.
You don't have to.
Okay. What I want to ask is, okay, I want to know why was it such an extent in
if you're reading the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, it says the past is a key to our future, essentially. Okay? I had to put this down on paper. I had to know exactly what the nature of my wrongs were. And that developed my character defects. And I asked my first sponsor about my character defects. And I didn't realize it, but he said it very jokingly. He said, Don, your character defects are so obvious, you stumble over them yourself every time you turn around. I was asked this question in a different way the other day, and here's where I need to know where I came from to know where I'm going. Okay? I do a 10-step inventory at night. You'll get into that in later sessions, but when I get into my moods, you know, my funk, and I can take this character defect and I can trace it clear back to that first page. I never looked at my character defects when I was out there drinking. I never looked at what I'd done wrong or harms I've done to other people. All right? I was too self-centered. I was selfish. And I was a lot of other things, all right? But the bottom line is I never looked at that stuff until I did that fourth step. You know, does that answer?
I think that once we get sober and stuff, it all comes to our head like that. You know what I did. You know exactly what I did to my child. I know exactly what I did to another human being. I don't know. To me, this is my point. Why would I want to sit down and do my life?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, and the only way I can respond to this, you know, you know what you've got to do to stay sober. I know what I had to do to stay sober. Okay. Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
I have a question as a sponsor. If there's a huge temptation to go forward with step 4 and 5. Is there a time when you just...
I would say yes. I would say yes. It's like when working with others. It goes back to that part of the book that says, when they, you know, if it's not responding, it's time just... There's other people that need your help. All right? Yes, sir.
Yeah. At the bottom of list 3, I noticed you've got the column 3 here, and it says possible self-esteem, security, our ambitions, personal missions, preservation, and pride. And then at the bottom it says, we respect our aliveness in this town of the thoroughness and honesty, and when our finish is considered it carefully. Can you elaborate and explain how you consider it carefully when you're done with the third list? How do you go with that? Because these checkboxes are like really the third,
yeah. Repeat that last part of that question. How do you know if you've done the...
Yeah, it says you considered it carefully.
Yeah.
So how would you consider it carefully in those 7 minutes?
A lot, and when I see people working at, all right, I've never challenged them if they were not being thorough about it, all right? I've never thought of that, to be honest with you, okay? I figure if you're writing this list out, if you're doing this, you're doing that checklist, all right?
I was asking that because it said nothing counted with their
own. Yeah. And I think that what they're applying to or where they're going there is that if nothing counts but thoroughness and honesty, it means that in the end it'll get you. People that are not thorough and not honest usually wind up using or abusing again.
But that's my question is if I don't understand how my thought is both, how myself and how my first conversation and all those things.
That's what the fifth step's about. That's when you're sent down and you're face to face and you talk about these concepts, you talk about moral philosophical conviction stuff, you know. That's what that sponsor's about, you know. Where you at and where he's at. Yeah.
My question is, I'm on my fourth step right now, okay, and I'm having a hard time because I am trying to be as honest as I can and I'm trying to do this, you know, thorough and honest, and it hurts so bad, you know, that I'm afraid. I'm afraid to go any further because I'm afraid that I have wrong impression. I don't want to put myself in that position. But I know I have to do my fourth step because I know all the ugliness that I caused and what I did. But I'm afraid to go any further. And I went back into my, because I heard somebody to me say, if you're afraid you're forced to go back to your first step, I did that twice already. So I know I'm ready to do it, but I'm afraid to do it because I don't want to get, you know, feel all ugly inside. And you know what I'm saying? I don't know if you understand.
Do you have a sponsor?
Yes, I do.
Do you do that part of the fourth step with your sponsor?
Well, I was guiding you were supposed to do that. I came back in 1979,
yeah.
And you did it by yourself.
Right.
And then you went to your other person. Yeah. So that's why I haven't gone to my sponsor.
Yeah. I would recommend you go talk to your sponsor.
Okay. I was waiting for a day so I could ask for
I would recommend you go to the sponsor because they're, you know, when you're sitting down and doing that fourth step, there's going to be tears. I'm sorry. There's going to be tears. Even the big boys cry. Okay? All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Don. And remember, we will have opportunity to ask questions of our entire group of panelists as we conclude. So please make sure to fill out the question forms for our Ask It Basket. I think there's a sign-in sheet that's kind of going around. I think there may be some confusion there. That's if you want to be on an email distribution list. If you want to get reminded of this event going forward and you have an email address, be sure to fill that out. If there are folks who have attendance cards to sign, you can certainly put that in the Folgers can that's going around, and we'll be sure to sign those attendance sheets, okay? All right, so next I'd like to invite our second panelist, and I'm going to ask Paula.
Oh.
Is that right?
Yep.
Paula, come on up. Yeah.
Hello, I am Paula, And I am what some people would say is the enemy. I am a grateful member of Al-Anon. Yeah, I see some people, they do this, you know, and I don't quite get that, because I think they have a misconception of what Al-Anon is all about. Al-Anon is a 12-step program. It's actually the exact same 12-step program as people in Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous, except our thing is to focus on ourselves. And I think one of the reasons people have apprehensions towards Al-Anon is they're really associating us with the non-recovering people who need Al-Anon. These are the people, the family members who are driving you crazy. What is the matter with you? Can't you see what you're doing to yourself? These people desperately need Al-Anon because Alcoholics Anonymous are kind of, you're drugs and alcohol. That's your addiction. Al-Anon, the people who need Al-Anon, our addiction is control. Okay? And what I have learned, I've been 22 years in Al-Anon, and I have learned so much about letting go of what the alcoholic or the addict in my life is doing and focusing on my own character defects. Thank you very much. And if any of you have family members that are driving you crazy, as gently as you can, suggest, you know, there's a program just for you that will help you. And I guarantee if anybody goes into Al-Anon, it'd be the greatest experience of their life. It has fixed so many things about myself that I thought could never be fixed. And let's see, because again, what Al-Anon teaches is I don't cause the alcoholic to drink, I can't control it, I can't cure it, but if I get my focus on myself and try to make myself the most loving, healthy person I can, amazing things will happen. And we say if one member of the family is thinking sanely, the whole family situation improves. And that has been my experience down all over the place. And let's see, because I'm a little compulsive, I took notes of what I would say to make sure I didn't leave anything out. Let's see, what to say about this. In Al-Anon, I've sponsored a lot of people, and I continue to sponsor a lot of people, and there is an enormous fear tied up with that four-step, and I know exactly why there's that four-step, and I have this thing, my God, my entire life, my family has been taking my inventory, you know. You're doing this wrong, and you're doing that, and what'd you do that for, dummy? And I, you know, I don't know quite why this happens, but I have just taken that role on. When a family member or a loved one is not there to do it for me, I do it for myself. God, you're so dumb, and what'd you do that for? And oh my gosh, what if this happens now? And what do I need to do a four-step? I'm doing that in my head all the time anyway. And that's a misunderstanding of what the four-step is really about. And it's not about, oh, let's beat up on me. What it is, okay, in Al-Anon, the goal of the program is to have serenity in all situations and to not let what other people are doing make us nuts. That's the goal. And all the fourth step is saying, okay, what are the things that I'm doing that are preventing me from having serenity? What are the things that I'm doing that are keeping me from leaving the alcoholic or the addict alone? That's all I'm making a list of, because then once I've got a list, I figure, okay, this is what I'm doing wrong. Then, okay, and see, I used to think, okay, if I discover something bad about myself, what I'm supposed to do is just beat myself over the head and hate myself and just, just be driving myself crazy with self-hatred because I've discovered a fault or a character defect. And you know, Malinon says, no. See, I keep thinking if I just beat myself up and hate myself enough, this character defect will go away. And what my 12-step program says, oh, no, you're not the one who's supposed to take the character defect away. What you do, okay, you recognize the character defect, and then in steps 6 and 7, God takes the character defect. And the more I'm beating myself up, the more God can't get in there to take the character defect away. And what I've, and the thing that I've discovered is that there are 4 basic things that keep God out of my life, that keep my higher power out of my life. They are fears, shame, guilt, and resentments. Anytime I'm in one of those emotions, God can't get in. They've done scientific studies where they've done, oh, what do you call them, MRIs or whatever, on people who are in that kind of state. There's a part of the brain that when you're in a spiritual state that lights up, okay? And when a person is experiencing fear, shame, guilt, or resentment, that part just goes black. And all the energy goes down into the arms and the legs. It comes, puts you in a fight or flight state. And what Al-Anon teaches me, you got to get rid of those guys. Some people go, gosh, I've got to have some kind of fear, you know, or I'll do something terrible. And fear is the crazy one. What you want to have is prudence. Prudence is the thing that tells you, you know, probably a good idea to not drive my car off a cliff. You know, that's prudence, okay? And instead of guilt or shame, you recognize you've hurt somebody and you make amends. Okay? And resentments, the thing, you don't want to have resentments. You want to have, there's such a thing as righteous anger when it's truly, you know, you should be angry over this thing. I've experienced that since I came into Al-Anon. I've experienced righteous anger twice. Okay? Otherwise, you know, it's to get rid of it. And when I made my little Paula's 4-step worksheet. There's one for everybody. My free gift to you. Because to me, the royal road to character defects is resentment. And the form that I was taught is here. It's very similar to the one that's in the big book. This was given to me by one of my first sponsors. And the first column is, okay, you make a list. Okay, what do I resent? And this is, I wrote down your bill. It's not the bill, it's here. I don't know, that thing just occurred to me. And then in the second column, what did they do? What was it they do? Well, okay. We were supposed to meet. He said he was coming over to my house between 1 and 4, okay, and I dropped everything. I totally rearranged my schedule so he would be there, and then he didn't show up. And then when I called and was angry at him, he got angry at me. Okay, that's that. Okay, now, 3, what could I have done to have prevented that? And it's, well, I could have called him that morning to confirm that we were meeting. And why didn't I do that? Oh, I'm afraid of making phone calls. Incidentally, I found this very common among us Al-Anons. And so that fourth column there's my character defects. And that's just one example. So, anyway, and as far as leading a sponsee through the 4-step. Actually, I forgot to say. This is my personal thing. This is my personal favorite thing. I came up with about 34 character defects out of this thing. And I always suggest it to my sponsees. But in Al-Anon, we say, you know, it's kind of like whatever works for you. Al-Anon has a book called The Blueprint for Progress, which is like this, I don't know, it's this workbook. It's about that thick, you know, full of questions. And there's also, I got to say, one of my sponsees used a book called 12 Steps for Christians. It's kind of like whatever. My feelings are deeply hurt. They don't all use this thing, but oh well, I'm working on that one, that resentment. And for me, you know, people are talking about, it's the same issue in Al-Anon again. People are so reluctant and so scared of this step. And, you know, Al-Anon, we don't get into controlling kinds of things, so we kind of wait around for the our sponsee to be ready to do step four. See, again, the thing is, what usually happens, you know, if the person is meeting with you and they're saying, you know, I've got this, I'm so mad at so-and-so, and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, it sounds like you got a resentment. Well, that would be a good time to do a four-step on that. See, again, all the things. Do a four-step. And eventually people get around to it. But it's really, really hard because we're not allowed to nag people in Al-Anon. Okay, you're supposed to say it once and then you don't say it after that. So it's just really, really hard. But once they get around to it, again, for me, and again, this is an Al-Anon thing. In Al-Anon, we don't yell at people. You know, we're so... I wish I could. I wish I was in AA, because I understand sponsors really yell at their sponsees, and, oh, I so want to do that, and I'm not allowed to do that. But what I just basically do is, again, suspend the judgment. I need to do that anyway with people. Suspend the judgmentalism, you know, or any kind of separation kind of feeling, and just listen. And I put what I call my listening face on, which is, and it's not too difficult, because inevitably it's kind of like Don was saying, whatever they've got, I have this terrible character defect that I'm so ashamed, I can never, ever tell anybody, and my mind is going crazy. Do they have, you know, sex with dead, you know, sheep or something, you know, you're trying to imagine what it is, you know, and then they'll blurt it out, you know, I've done this thing, and I go, oh, is that all? I've only done that about 1,000 times, you know, it's like, but again, to just do that listening thing, what I tend to do is try to find, is listen. I take notes too, and I always tell them, now I'm going to destroy this as soon as we're done. This is just for me, is to take notes and look for patterns. Are there certain things that are inevitably causing, I noticed that you've got, every time you get around your mother, you have thoughts of murder. Okay, let's kind of look a little deeper at that one, okay? What else do I need to say? Oh, I know what it is. We're back to this little poem. It's like the whole thing is, this is the only place there's potential danger is number 3. What could I have done to prevent it? Now, I am a huge fan of everything to do with Alcoholics Anonymous and the Big Book. And the Big Book says something along the lines of, if we really take in, you know, an inventory, there are times when people have hurt us, seemingly without provocation, but good inventory will tell us that inevitably, which means always, we have made decisions based on self, which put us in a position to be hurt. And what I get sometimes from people who are really, you know, in a lot of resentment, well, the way I could have prevented this, I should just never have been born, you know, or something like that. And the way if you really look, because the person who hurt you has 99% of the fault. Perhaps you have a little tiny 1% of the fault, which in Al-Anon was probably that we were in judgmental mode. We didn't say anything, but we were kind of thinking, you know. And again, it's that really searching and fearless inventory. It was just a little fingernail pairing's worth of fault. What is it? And if you really cannot find that fingernail pairing, I was totally doing nothing. I was wonderful and loving, and they just came along and hit me over the head for no reason. It's okay. Then the issue becomes, okay, what is it? What is it that prevents you from letting go of this? There's always something besides, I should never have been born, because God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Having been born is one of them. Okay. Oh, I almost forgot. Oh, good. I got 9 seconds. One of the things that Al-Anon does that I don't know any of the other programs do is we are also supposed to you guys are all going to hate me for this one. It's terrible. This is really awful thing about Al-Anon. We're supposed to make a inventory of our positive qualities too, and I have found that to be enormously helpful, because again, I kind of tend to go into this place of, you know, I'm worm slime, and just, it doesn't have to be, oh my God, I found a cure for cancer. It can be nothing more than, you know, I remember to take the garbage out this week, you know, so I didn't have to go running out with the cans or whatever, or nothing more than, you know, I was really, really tempted to ream that person's butt, and I zipped it, and, I will call my sponsor, excuse me. Just those little things, I find it enormous. I write them down in a notebook, and when I'm feeling depressed, you know, I go through that little book of my, of my positive qualities. And like I say, it really, you know, we've been, speaking purely from myself, beat up ourselves way too much, way too much. That does not glorify the higher power at all. So I think I, oh my gosh, I have 7 more minutes. Well, what else can I say? I guess, I guess I've said it all. So, I mean, do you have any questions? Oh, yes. Oh, I would love to. But I always say I'm sponsoring 5 people right now, so I'll put you on my waiting list.
I have done my 3 steps done by the
24th. Oh, yeah. Sounds good. Yeah. Okay, give me a call. I work with the teenagers, you know, and they say, oh, can you get my mother into Al-Anon? And it's like, can't force, can't lead a horse to water, can't make him drink, or will you be my mother? And it's just like, oh, I'd love to. So, yes. You know, that's the issue. The issue again is not preventing it, but how can what is it that that makes you hang on to that? That. Well, I tell you, I got a lot of sponsees with similar issues, and I will tell you that there's two things that I really, really recommend. Okay, is number one, writing a letter to her, okay, and let it out. You might want to do this, you know, with your sponsor standing by. Let it all out. And, okay, and then here's the other thing. It's like here's the thing I've discovered, okay. Okay, whoever it is up in heaven now. And they see it all. Once you're in heaven, you see, oh, you know, and they want to make amends to you. And now they can't. They're dead. And so what I will do is, after I've got it all out, is then I pray and I start talking to them, you know, and asking, you know, okay, here's how, you know, make amends. See if you can pull a few strings, you know, and make my life a little better, you know. Get that, you know, see if you can get me a better job, you know, or prove my relationship with my kids. Because they want, I guarantee you, if they're up in heaven, they want to make amends. You know? I think one of the things, and I've learned in Al-Anon, is little tricks. There's little tricks of the mind. You kind of have to trick your mind and say, okay, for the sake of my, I don't know. So I might as well assume they are up in heaven, you know? And now they're ready to make their amends. Because that brings me more serenity. Even if it's crazy, if it brings me serenity, and I'm not going to know till I'm gone, you know, anyway, I might as well assume whatever brings me serenity. The second thing, okay, and this I have found incredibly powerful, and I tell people this all the time, and people said this has totally changed my life, okay, is to pray for them. And here's the prayer, you know, if you might want to write this one down, okay. God bless so-and-so. Okay. I've heard sometimes Al-Anons will say, God bless that son of a bitch. Okay. And fill them with your love today and every day. Because the only reason people do really, really, really bad things is because, aside from needing to be an Al-Anon, is because they don't have God's love in them. And the only thing that's going to make them heal and start to be a good person is God's love. And they need a lot of it. They need God to fill them. And sometimes I say, if the person's really, really awful, you know, fill them with so much love that it's coming out of their eyeballs and their ears, and it's getting into every nook and cranny of their, you know, intestines. Okay, and... okay, here's the second part. God bless so-and-so. Fill them with your love today and every day. And send them the angel mentor. Now, I got to tell you about the angel mentor. What we tend to do, I can only speak from the Al-Anon point of view. What we tend to do in Al-Anon is, you know, we want them to understand that what they're doing is wrong. And we want them to make amends to us. And we want to get in there, you know, and do this and say, this is what you did, and they want them to get it. Oh my God, Paula, thank you so much for... I had no idea that what I did was wrong. We keep trying to... and they don't do it. And we keep trying to explain harder and harder and harder to them, and they don't get it. Okay? And I'll tell a little side story. Okay? It's a little bit different, but it works the same thing. If I had a woman that I was sponsoring in Al-Anon, and she just wasn't getting the Al-Anon program at all. And she kept also talking, by the by, you know, every night I'm getting drunk and I'm getting into huge fights and I got arrested and, you know, I would say, you know, have you considered going to Alcoholics Anonymous? No, I'm not going to do that. You know, but if years are going by and it's just, you still got that, I'm still trying to, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous, And all of a sudden, one day she comes to me, and she was inexplicably different. There was something about her, just like Ebby, okay? And she said, well, I was talking to Mary Lou in Al-Anon, and you know, she's also in Alcoholics Anonymous, and she told me I should go to Alcoholics Anonymous. So I did, and now everything is so much better now that I've stopped drinking and I'm working the AA program. I'm just like, you know, I've been telling her this for 3 years. But no, see, I wasn't the right person to tell her. She needed to hear it. That other member of Al-Anon was her angel mentor, the perfect person to explain stuff. And probably most of you guys have had the angel mentor. It wasn't, I guarantee, does anybody's mother get them into AA or NA? Okay. We have a few. All right. Maybe they probably there were sober members of Alcoholics Anonymous too. But generally, it's not the family or the spouse. It's just the right person. Okay, and that's what we're praying for them to come. That person can explain to them and get it. All right, 6 seconds. Okay. Yes. Yes.
You're both members of AA when it happened. Did that mean they didn't do their steps right?
I think so. They needed to do a little further work with their sponsor. Yep. Well, thank you.